I'm Lisa Trevino, and I'm joined here by Tom Glad. And every week, twice a week, we do the manual for teachers. We read one or two sections, we discuss it, and we open it up to sharing to anybody in the room. And then afterwards, we post the talks on gentlelessons.com. We actually are nearing the end of the manual for teachers. We're going to go through a couple sections today, and then next Wednesday, we have two more sections left. And I was just talking to Tom, and it looks like we're going to go on to the psychotherapy pamphlet, which is awesome. So for those of you interested in the psychotherapy pamphlet, you can join us and we can go through it. Yeah, very good, huh? Yeah, feels good, right? Right. Okay. So it looks like what it's going to be that. All right. Well, let's just start off in the normal way. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. Let's just affirm that we will continue to listen and holding gratitude, each other for showing up and the Holy Spirit for guiding us. Knowing that what we hear is what we were meant to hear. And what we say is what we were meant to say. As into the awareness of His presence, the teacher of God, do we now enter? Share with us what is helpful. Amen. Okay, so where we are now is we are on section 25, that's page 62 in the manual for teachers, and it is the section entitled, Are Psychic Powers Desirable? So again, this is how this works. I read a section, I talk about that section, then Tom picks up the microphone and he shares. And while Tom is sharing, think if whether or not you feel something's coming up, either in listening to the reading or my commentary or his, that something maybe that you want to comment on or a question or anything related to the material. So I will start reading. Are psychic powers desirable? The answer to this question is much like the preceding one. There are, of course, no unnatural powers, and it is obviously merely an appeal to magic to make up a power that does not exist. It is equally obvious, however, that each individual has many abilities of which he is unaware. As his awareness increases, he may well develop abilities that seem quite startling to him. Yet nothing he can do can compare even in the slightest with the glorious surprise of remembering who he is. Let all his learning and all his efforts be directed toward this one great final surprise. And he will not be content to be delayed by the little ones that may come to him on the way. I was talking to somebody last night, and she was asking me how to tell the difference between the ego and spirit, how to really tune in and know that what she's really listening to is her intuition when she has doubt thoughts. And so we had a real extensive conversation about this. But the first thing to do is to not treat intuition, or in this case, if we want to call it psychic powers or whatever, as something strange or something that only some people have, to not treat it like it's an unnatural power, to realize that it is a power somewhat dormant in everyone's mind. And that is the awareness of who they are as they tune into the truth starts to dawn on the mind. What ends up happening is just an uncovering, a discovering of a power that was already there. So we tune into that intuition, we tune into the voice for God, and in doing so, it becomes stronger in our mind, and it may manifest in different ways. Some people may hear things or see things, feel things, or they may feel a whole combination, but some parts to a greater degree than others. But to not treat it as some kooky thing, something that nobody has, because everybody has it. When I first got together with my husband, and he wasn't my husband at the time, but I noticed that when he has a problem that he feels he needs to solve, he goes into the state of mind where he just follows whatever comes to him, and he follows it all the way into the solution, and he figures things out, but he doesn't do it from a completely analytical standpoint. He doesn't call it intuition, and he doesn't call it psychic, and he doesn't call it by any of the spiritual names. But I recognized with the help of the Holy Spirit that what he was doing was tuning in. And so to see the similarity in my husband and myself, but with maybe a difference in form and symbolism, it's still the same thing. I more and more recognize. And so whenever somebody comes to me with the question of how do they hear, how do they tune in and listen to their intuition or listen to the Holy Spirit, what I'm most often pointed to is how they are already doing it. And I have yet to be in an experience where somebody doesn't recognize it once we start talking about it in that way. It only seems startling because a person is not used to it. If we've been relying on the intellectual mind, then to get certain bursts of intuition and insight and vision could be very startling to the mind. And at first we might feel very joyous but funny about it, or surprised, and we might want to tell everybody, hey, look at this that I just figured out, or look what just came to me, or I know that this communicated with me, or whatever it is that's happening. And it seems like it's just a big surprise and it's so much, but to get locked into that is to limit it. Because what's happening is what's natural. What was unnatural was the dependence on physical sight and on projection and intellectualization to tell us what to see. So we go on to the next section where it says, certainly there are many quote-unquote psychic powers that are clearly in line with this course. Communication is not limited to the small range of channels the world recognizes. If it were, there would be little point in trying to teach salvation. It would be impossible to do so. The limits the world places on communication are the chief barriers to direct experience of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. The limits the world places on communication are the chief barriers to direct experience of the Holy Spirit, whose presence is always there, and whose voice is available but for the hearing. So these are the limits placed out of fear, for without them, the walls that surround all the separate places of the world would fall at the holy sound of his voice. Who transcends these limits in any way? Is merely becoming more natural. He is doing nothing special, and there is no magic in his accomplishments. And I remember many times, and this is something that the Holy Spirit had to work on me in a couple of different ways, because I felt spooked by certain experiences that I had that I thought were, in a sense, not of this world, while I was identified at the moment with the world. For example, when I had certain communications with spirits that were not in bodies, or if I was using things like tarot cards and certain kinds of books and stuff, and things that I was doing at the time, what I was doing was just misperceiving what was happening and misdirecting what I was looking for. Like, I was listening to and seeking from a perspective of a body and it being out there. And that was the only reason why I experienced fear, was not the communication and not the reception, but the interpretation of it based on what I thought I was and what I thought was happening. And so for a long time after, whenever somebody would talk about tarot cards, for example, I would get really tense and I wouldn't want to hear about it because I was holding on to the story that in some way that was a misuse or whatever. But all the while, the Holy Spirit was using the ways in which we used books to have that same line of communication with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would show me in that way that I was already doing that, but it was that my story, my misperception of the other was all that was causing me the fear that I had, like closing my eyes and speaking with the Holy Spirit and surrendering the book and allowing myself to open the book to wherever the Holy Spirit guided, to whatever on the page to read, and treat whatever it is that I was reading as what the Holy Spirit would want me to know. And that was a primary and has been a primary form of communication with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in writing and tuning into the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me, to tell me what to write. And so to me, eventually, the story about the tarot cards had to be healed, but the Holy Spirit used the leverage of my experience with books to show me that it was the same thing. The seemingly new abilities that may be gathered on the way can be very helpful. Given to the Holy Spirit and used under His direction, they are valuable teaching aids. To this, the question of how they arise is irrelevant. The only important consideration is how they are used. Taking them as ends in themselves, no matter how this is done, will delay progress. Nor does their value lie in proving anything. Achievements from the past, unusual attunement with the quote-unquote unseen, or quote-unquote special favors from God. God gives no special favors, and no one has any powers that are not available to everyone. No one has any powers that are not available to everyone. Only by tricks of magic are special powers, quote-unquote, demonstrated. This is actually the difference between magic and miracles. Magic is the belief that something of this world and the perception of it in form is where the power is. And it doesn't need to be a material. It could be a story. It could be even something out there that it has the power. But to take the experience and to use the experience as quote-unquote proof of a power that one has and another doesn't is to actually allow the ego to use the experience to prove separation, quote-unquote. Now, what Jesus says is that what is accomplished in Him is potential in us, and that we are all the same. That we do not have any powers that He does not have, and He, more importantly, does not have any power that we do not have. Now, if that is the case, and we really stay in that awareness, then nothing really shocking or surprising will occur when we realize that we are just uncovering our natural state, our natural abilities. And not thinking that all of a sudden the ability to see or hear or do something in the world makes us special, or makes us special in God's eyes, or in Jesus's. Magic to the ego is the misinterpretation of the miracle. It's saying, you know, I have this miracle and I'm going to use this miracle to induce belief. But it's not to be used as a spectacle, because a spectacle doesn't induce belief. Only a brother's mind who is open to the truth can recognize the truth. And a mind that's not open to the truth won't. So only a brother's mind who's open to the truth can recognize the truth and recognize the miracle. Otherwise, he might credit it as something that I have and he doesn't. And this happens when we put somebody on a pedestal or when we get put on a pedestal or when someone has envy for what seems to be a quality that a brother has that they do not. And it goes on to say, nothing that is genuine is used to deceive. The Holy Spirit is incapable of deception, and he can use only genuine abilities. What is used for magic is useless to him, but what he uses cannot be used for magic. There is, however, a particular appeal in unusual abilities that can be curiously tempting. Here are strengths which the Holy Spirit wants and needs. Yet the ego sees in these same strengths an opportunity to glorify itself. Strengths turned to weakness are tragedy indeed. Yet what is not given to the Holy Spirit must be given to weakness, for what is withheld from love is given to fear and will be fearful in consequence. Again, this speaks to the ego interpretation of my experience, and not only that, but the ego's purpose for my experience. So I stay out of the way, and so whenever something happens, I don't give myself credit, my seemingly separate self-identity that I am unlearning, but rather, and I believe it's said in the Bible, give God the glory. So it's not to take credit for it, from the perspective of that separate self-identity. It's not to say, oh, look, this makes me special, or let me show off because I have this seeming ability that maybe someone else doesn't. It seems that psychic powers in this world have so much awe related to them, so much story, so much egoic drama related to this concept. And this section is looking to sift through that and to say, well, what we think psychic powers are very much in line with the Course, but the story of them and the credit to the ego and the self-glorification with specialness and the confusion of purpose and to which teacher that we're listening to and that we're using them to listen to and understanding what's really happening, that's where the confusion is. That's where the confusion is. So here are strengths which the Holy Spirit wants and needs. Yet the ego sees in these same strengths an opportunity to glorify itself. Stay out of the story. Give the glory to the Holy Spirit. That's the development of trust. I'm looking to just be useful, not special. Even those who no longer value the material things of the world may still be deceived by psychic powers, as investment has been withdrawn from the world's material gifts. The ego has been seriously threatened. It may still be strong enough to rally under this new temptation to win back strength by guile. Many have not seen through the ego's defenses here, although they are not particularly subtle. Yet given a remaining wish to be deceived, deception is made easy. The mind that wants to be deceived gets deceived very easily by itself. Now the power is no longer a genuine ability and cannot be used dependably. It is almost inevitable that unless the individual changes his mind about its purpose, he will bolster his quote-unquote powers, uncertainties, with increasing deception. And this has been my experience, that whenever I want to have a story about it, the Holy Spirit will stop me, and so I don't let it go to my head. I just want to remain an open channel and allow Spirit to speak through me and to me. And in that, I don't take credit for whatever is said, because although I am present and willing, and it's of the Holy Spirit, and it's of truly who I am, ultimately, at the same time, I am not in charge. I am not directing the miracle. I am not telling myself what to see or what needs to be, quote-unquote, changed or corrected. I'm allowing Spirit to use me. So I'm not in charge of it, because the ego wants to make itself special with this idea of psychic powers. And it's the same thing as wanting to be a head boss in a company for the purpose of self-glorification. I'm not saying that anything is wrong with having a role in a company or a house on the hill or whatever, but I am saying that the ego's purpose for it is self-glorification, separation. And so that same seeking salvation in the world that the ego says is the way can be done with psychic powers. You know, I will be special if, or I have this, this sets me above, or I am more powerful than, this is the ego. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about that because everybody's here for the same purpose, to heal the mind, to undo the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And as we undo the blocks, we reveal the power that we all share. We all share this power. To believe that a power that we have, someone else doesn't, is to automatically be listening to the ego. Because the power that we really have is of God. And that power is of us as joined as the Son of God. It is not something that one of us has, held separate, specially loved by God and nobody else. And that's where the worship of Jesus and having awe for Jesus is the error, and why Jesus says we are the same. That he wants you to recognize who you are by telling you we are the same. You cannot accept the atonement and know who you really are and accept your power truly and know what your power is, believing that it is something that you have and someone else doesn't, or they have and you don't. And that is the special nature of the concept of psychic powers to the ego. Because now the power is no longer a genuine ability, cannot be used dependably, because now it's directed by the ego. So the last paragraph, any ability that anyone develops has the potentiality for good. To this, there is no exception. And the more unusual and unexpected the power, the greater its potential usefulness. The more unusual and unexpected the power, the greater its potential usefulness. I'll stop for a moment and I'll say, why this is so important to me, this one sentence, is because when something is unusual to me or unexpected to me, it is because I have denied it in my mind, and I need to become aware of it. So the more unexpected or unusual, what is natural seems unnatural. When someone is sleeping in the dark, and you go and you turn the light on really quickly in the room, it is shocking to the eyes and to the mind that is used to the dark. It doesn't mean that the light is unnatural. It just means that it is not what the mind is used to in that moment. So we can misuse denial and block out the awareness of who we are and the power, but that does not change who we are or our power. It does not change it. All it does is remove it from our awareness, and our experience is limited in that moment. So the more unusual or unexpected the power, the greater its potential usefulness, not only to me, but then in turn, when my brother comes to me, because he's ready to heal his mind in that way, and now this opening is being used, where once I had a limit, a judgment, a block. Now it's being used. Holy Spirit's using this to help my brother. And this happens vice versa, where my brother has this unusual, seemingly unnatural ability that wakes me up to the ability within me. So, salvation has need of all abilities, for what the world would destroy, the Holy Spirit would restore. Quote-unquote psychic abilities have been used to call upon the devil, which merely means to strengthen the ego. Yet here is also a great channel of hope and healing in the Holy Spirit's service. Those who have developed quote-unquote psychic powers have simply let some of the limitations they laid upon their minds be lifted. It can be but further limitations they lay upon themselves if they utilize their increased freedom for greater imprisonment. The Holy Spirit needs these gifts, and those who offer them to Him and Him alone go with Christ's gratitude upon their hearts and His holy sight not far behind. So it isn't about the ability. It's never about the ability. It depends on who is asking. Are you looking at the concept through the eyes of a separate self, needing to be better or less than, or more loved, or more special? Are you looking at it through the eyes of the ego? And are you giving them to the ego? Or are you listening to the teacher for God, the voice for God, the Holy Spirit? Your true self within your mind will reveal itself to you in this process as you let go of the limitations. This is not something you get. This is something you reveal. And that's a key thing to this. Do not give it to the ego. The question is only what purpose you give it, what teacher you listen to, and you seek to know. Because the teacher is in charge, and the Holy Spirit is using everything for the awakening. So to me, today, it's all the Holy Spirit communicating with me. I don't have any thoughts of the devil communicating with me or anything like that. I turn it all over to the Holy Spirit, and I trust that in that, since I am listening for the Holy Spirit, and I'm in tune to the Holy Spirit, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me in whatever ways are before me. And I treat the world as a classroom and everything in it as a communication device. Everything. The miracle, the body, everything as a communication device. The songs, the books, the cards, whatever. And I stay out of the way. When that power is trying to be used from the perspective of the ego, it is a misdirected miracle impulse. And that is what was talked about in the miracle principles and in the beginning of the book. We do not want to be in charge of that which we cannot be in charge of. So we do not take credit for it. We do not direct it. We do not try to force it. It is not something we have and someone else doesn't. To really get what the power is and where it's coming from is a real surrender, real humility, real right relation with God and our brothers, and to recognize what that power really is to not give it to the credit of the egoic mind. Letting go of the story and allowing the Holy Spirit to use everything in the world, knowing that it's all communication, nothing special, nothing that makes you more loved. We are all love. We are all the same. We all have the same abilities. At this point, I'm going to drop the mic for Tom. He's going to talk about this section. And then if anybody wants to share, please raise their hand. Thank you.